Well, he could read pitchers pretty good at that. Uh-huh. And when I got up there, they knew just about everybody's signs. Uh-huh. If you hit a triple, you stopped at second base, try to get the signs over the catcher.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
They said, don't go from first to third on a single, stop at second. Because we had a bunch of guys that liked him, you know.
Yeah.
We had a guy named Rip Russell.
Yeah.
And Mike Higgins liked him. And, of course, Dar liked him.
Yeah.
Dominic DiMaggio and Rudy York liked him better than anybody. Uh-huh. When he knew what he was coming, he was, when he knew what was coming, he was a terrific hitter.
Right. Tell me the story about Taffy Wright that your wife mentioned. What's
Taff and I got to be good friends when I first went to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to go in the service in 43.
Mm-hmm.
So he missed 43, 44, and 45. He missed 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to spring training. I stopped in I had to stop in Chicago to see the general manager going out to from here to the coast. Mm-hmm. We trained in Pasadena. So I got there, and then I went out to the ballpark, and he told me Taff Wright was in town. He says, I got your old compartment together going out there. You and said, so you're going to pick up Trotsky in Cedar Rapids when you go through there.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get a bit of sleep on the way out there. When I got there, my stomach was so sore, I thought I'd been in spring training from laughing at that Wright.
Oh, really?
The tales he had of being in the service.
Yeah.
He knew to the exact minute how long he'd been in the service. He said, so many years, so many months, so many weeks, so many days, and so many hours, and so many minutes that he was in the service. He told us he lived in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know, he's in Orlando, Florida. But he was raised in Lumberton. He had a tobacco farm down there. And he was dismissed from the service in Fayetteville, which isn't too far, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His wife came up to pick him up in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took that uniform off and went home in his underwear. He says, I'm not wearing that damn uniform for another minute. He said, nobody hated that army like I did.
That's great.
He said, when he's overseas, he had trouble getting shoes.
Mm-hmm.
He says, everybody had to... big feet or little feet or something. No, that wasn't it. He had trouble getting booze. But some of the officers over there, if you give them shoes, mm-hmm. baseball shoes, they'd give you a bottle of booze for a couple of bottles of booze for a pair of baseball
yeah.
shoes. He said, all those officers had great big feet or little bit of feet. He said, I never could make a deal with them. In other words, everything happened to him.
Yeah.
He was a pip. He was a character, but he could hit.
Uh-huh.
Feller dreaded him.
Okay.
He got where he wouldn't throw him a fastball. He tried to throw him change-ups and everything else. Wright just wore him out.
Hmm.
Really did.
What about Orville Grove? What kind of a guy was he?
Well, Orville hurt his arm, too.
Mm-hmm.
What hurt him most, though, was he had a knee operation that kept him out for a while, and he had trouble getting. He looked like he was going to be a real good pitcher until he hurt that knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that affected his arm. I lost track of him. He's out in California someplace.
Mm-hmm. What about Hal Trotsky? Didn't he come back out of retirement?
He came over there, yeah, for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
He was about to finish it.
Now
he's in real estate business and still lives in Cedar Rapids.
Oh, really?
Done real well.
He had
about four or five kids. They're all grown. One of them was a flyer, isn't he? One of them a flyer?
Jimmy, the one Judy
He
said.
Flies jets for some airline.
Jimmy, the one that Judy said.
Mm-hmm.
And Hal Jr. had four kids and divorced.
There were several boys off of that Chicago club that their sons went into baseball. Dietrich's boy got a big bonus.
Oh, did he?
Hal.
Trash's boy.
Thornton Lee.
Yeah, I know.
There's quite a few of them.
Don Lee, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Don Lee, yeah.
Right.
He got to the big leagues. Well, we were going to talk about what, the Red Sox?
Well, no, I want to, as long as the tape's on, I want to stick to the wartime years. But what about Callaway? What kind of a guy was he?
Callaway was just a fair ball player. He could run.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of those guys, you have to remember, the service really messed him up. You know, losing 3 years at a time like that is tough, you know.
Were there any other casualties besides Rigney? I mean, I know that Rigney came back and wasn't the same.
Thornton Lee hurt his arm. All of them. Uh-huh. All those pitchers, every one of them hurt their arm. Except Lyons, he pitched until he was 43 or 44 years old, I guess. He had a knuckleball, too.
I see. Eddie Lopat came up at 44. Could you tell us that he was going to be a good one?
No, he was having awful trouble pitching.
Oh, was he?
We were rooming together, yeah. And Eddie was a pretty good hitter. And he had played first base some, you know, also. And he was right on the verge of becoming a first baseman. That's how discouraged he was with his pitching.
No kidding.
And Ted Lyons worked with him some. I think Ted got him that motion, you know. And Ed used to get on the sideline and practice that motion for an hour. And all of a sudden, he started pitching. I mean, from getting that rocking chair motion he had.
Yeah, his rhythm.
And that really straightened him out, and he was a great pitcher. He went right on up. He could always beat Cleveland, seemed like, though.
Oh, really?
He always could beat Cleveland. Even in that little ballpark, a left-hand pitcher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What about Edgar Smith? Is he still alive or not? I get conflicted.
He was the last thing I heard of him. Somebody told me he was tending bar over in Jersey someplace.
Okay. What kind of a pitcher was he?
He had a good breaking ball, yeah, and a pretty good fastball.
Uh-huh.
He lost some awful tough games. You know, we didn't get many runs out there.
How about the Gordon Maltzberger? I know he was.
He was a great relief pitcher for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was a nice fellow.
Okay.
Yeah, real personable fellow. He's still managing for somebody. I saw him this past spring.
Do you want to comment on this fellow Carnett?
He was. He came out of. I think he was coaching in college or teaching in college or something.
Oh, really?
And he was a pretty fair hitter. He hit around 300 one year, I think, for us. Right at it. He was up over 300 most of the year, I know.
Uh-huh.
He was a real stocky built fellow.
What about Joe Haynes? I wanted to ask you about Haynes.
Joe Haynes was a breaking ball pitcher, good pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And, well, he and his wife were our best friends when we were there. We were together all the time.
Did the White Sox play any exhibitions against service teams? Did you go
to
the Lakes?
Yeah, we went to Great Lakes, and we played at Fort Dix. We played, everybody made those service camps, you know, near them.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any interesting stories about games against service
teams? No, I don't.
Okay.
I know we went in, I believe it was Fort Dix, and it was right after the Anzio landing, the first, when we really got pounded.
Yes.
And they had a lot of those, they sent us through hospitals too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a mistake. They shouldn't send us in there because these guys weren't ready for you. They'd just gotten back and they were still
upset
real bad, yeah.
Yeah. I see.
Because when we went in there, they just turned their back. They didn't want to talk to nobody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They turned their backs right to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which you couldn't blame them, you know. A lot of their buddies got shot. We lost a lot of men there, you know. The casualty list was real high, percentage-wise, when they first went in the Anzio.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments about Carl Scheel, the professional bench jockey in 1945, the batting practice pitcher who was taken out?
Yeah, they St. Louis Browns beat him up something awful. He was an ex-Marine. He'd been discharged.
Yeah.
But he was overbearing. He really was. Yeah, I don't go for that kind of baseball.
Uh-huh. Well, what was there in his bench jockey that got the opposition so riled? I know he drove the Browns nuts one day.
Yeah.
It was a big fight in your dugout.
I don't remember.
I mean, was it upset?
I just knew he was there. Huh?
Was he shouting upset?
No, he didn't do that. He was just irritating.
He just
remember like this big guy that used to be out to the ball games here at Shy Park? And they worked for Gimbel's?
You've
heard of
it? No, I haven't.
Didn't you?
No.
You could hear him all over the ballpark too.
Just a foghorn
voice. And he just, he'd get it, some kind of dirt or something on somebody, you know.
Yeah.
He wouldn't use foul language, but he'd get something on it and he'd never let up. Well, that's what this guy was like too, see.
Uh-huh.
I didn't approve of that at all.
I see. Fine. Anything else before we stop on the Warriors? Any other things you'd like to mention?
Not that I can think of. I think we covered it pretty well.
Fine. Thank you.
wanted to